Intervju Radija Študent.
Lepo pozdravljeni, poslušate Radio Študent na 89,3 MHz. Danes je z nami Ras Hunter, ki ga boste imeli priložnost srečati tudi na festivalu Kurja polt v Kinoteki in Kinodvoru. Je sicer profesor iz Univerze Northumbria, kjer predava o žanrskem filmu, v petek pa ga lahko ujamete tudi na seminarju v slovenski kinoteki. Ras, hello, nice to have you here.
Hi Pia, good to speak to you.
So you are coming to Ljubljana this week with a group of your colleagues from University of Northumbria. Where actually did you arrange to come to Kurja polt Festival?
I mean, first of all, just to say, we're all really excited to come to Slovenia. None of us have ever been to Slovenia or Ljubljana before, so we're excited to come, we're excited to see what looks like a really interesting festival with a really interesting lineup. I met the festival director, Masha, at another festival actually called Offscreen in Brussels last year, last March. And she saw us giving a series of talks there where we talked about 42nd Street and we talked about kind of exploitation cinema. And then so we met in the bar afterwards and chatted, and Masha invited us along just to come to Kurja polt and maybe see if we could talk to the audience about some of the things that interest us as academics and hopefully would interest audiences as well. So we kind of connected at another festival and took it from there.
So you said you are going to talk about some stuff that are interesting for you. As far as I understand, you are a professor especially for the genre film in UK.
Yeah, that's correct. Here at Northumbria University, we've got three or four professors who are specialists really in genre cinema. So typically we research and we write about horror films, fantastic film, all of those kinds of things really. So that's our area of specialism. And the idea is when we come to festivals is we want to talk to audiences about things that interest us, but hopefully interest them as well.
So would you say this is quite an often study in the United Kingdom, or are you maybe the only university that has this special program for studying genre films?
I think here at Northumbria, we're unusual in that for some reason we have a sort of constellation of academics who are all interested in very similar things. Most film departments, you have people interested in art cinema, some people interested in more popular cinema, genre cinema maybe, some people interested in documentary. It really varies, but here we're kind of lucky, I think, that we just all happen to be interested in similar things. Now, in terms of the sort of history of how we get to this point, the study of genre cinema is not particularly new necessarily. My colleague Peter Hutchings, Professor Peter Hutchings, has been writing about this since the early 90s, and in fact you can go back a little bit before that as well. But I think what our interest is and where it stems from is in the idea that you can take something which is a sort of popular form of cinema, something that's often seen as maybe a kind of B cinema even, that doesn't necessarily get ascribed much cultural value, and look at that and say, actually, maybe there are interesting things in that. Maybe that kind of cinema is not just about entertainment, but actually it's also sometimes got a message too. There sometimes can be something political behind that. And that's really where I guess our interest lies in that kind of cinema, is to look at it and say, okay, it's entertaining, it's interesting, but what else is there?
What would you say is so particularly interesting about the films at Kurja polt Festival? What are you going to talk about on Friday?
So what we're going to talk about on Friday, we're running a conference that's called the Cult Film Conference, Trash or Treasure, The Politics of Genre Cinema. And we're going to talk about a couple different things. The idea is really to just, I suppose, introduce to people different ways of thinking about genre cinema that show that genre cinema is more than necessarily something which is just a sort of popular form of cinema. So my colleague Jamie Sexton, for example, is going to talk about countercultural politics and films that come out during the countercultural movement in the late 60s and early 70s. So films like Easy Rider, Wild in the Streets, The Trip, all sorts of films that are kind of informed by that countercultural moment but have something very political to say, and are also kind of a bit crazy in places. So he's going to look at this balance of how you have this cinema which is very, very popular, which is slightly strange, which is slightly offbeat, but how that tries to say something about the kind of political moment that it finds itself in. We've also got another of my colleagues, Dr. Steve Jones, who's going to talk about torture porn. torture porn is one of those film areas where it's often gotten a bit of a rough ride. People see it as being just about extreme violence and about fans kind of reveling in violence. What often happens with torture porn is, in order for people to try and defend that, they try to give it a political reading. They try to say, actually, it's about something else. It's about 9/11, or, you know, it's about anything other than just being about torture and about porn, and those two things coming together. What Steve Jones is going to argue is, actually, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Actually, it's quite complicated. That some films are smart and we're able to read something into them, and sometimes those films are just films that really aren't saying anything. So he's going to challenge this idea of films being political, really, I suppose. And then you've got Dr. Kate Egan, who's coming from Aberystwyth University in Wales, and she's going to talk about the way in which films that were caught up in the video nasties phenomenon in Britain in the early 80s, where there was a big moral panic about horror cinema and there was a fear of, you know, what watching horror cinema would do to you, and a number of films got banned as a result of that. Now, she's going to talk about how those films are marketed today and the politics now behind distributors of DVDs and films taking that moment in history, which was very controversial, and kind of reselling it now as almost something which is a good thing, a bonus, which is something that actually in this particular moment we can see these films we couldn't see before, or at least we can see them in their complete form or more complete form than we could before. So those are the three talks. And overall, really, the whole point of what we're going to talk about is just thinking about what is normally considered a kind of lowbrow cultural form. Genre cinema is typically seen as being, or typically dismissed as being, what you might call ephemeral cinema. Here today, gone tomorrow. Doesn't mean very much. And the idea of our talks is to say, look, actually, sometimes those things, that might be the case, but actually frequently there's something a little bit more to say. There's something a little bit more interesting. And that actually political readings of films are not just reserved for art cinema. They're not just reserved for what's typically seen as more highbrow cinema. But actually we can look at films that have typically been dismissed and we can say, you know what, there's something more interesting happening there.
What is the situation in the UK at the moment? Do genre films still have this sort of trivial understanding, as in they're gonna do something bad to our kids, they're gonna throw themselves from cliffs and stuff? Or maybe is this really something of past times, since we have more and more media around us, like more video games, easier accessible films also online? We can't say to some smaller kids anymore that, no, you can't go to the cinema, but you can get it online. Would you say that the situation, according to understanding genre films in UK, changed in, let's say, last 30 years?
I think that's a really good question, actually. And I think the answer is that probably, yes, it has changed. One rider, though, to that is horror films in particular, which are probably the most common form of genre cinema that people view. Whilst they're seen as less problematic than before, I suspect that they could still get caught up in a moral panic. Because actually, one of the things that frequently happens is that if a child is murdered, for example, or if something particularly horrific happens, they're often referred to as an easy target. So we had, for example, in the early 1990s in Britain, a small child called Jamie Bulger was murdered by two other children. And the judge at their trial suggested they might have seen certain horror films. And in fact, they hadn't seen the films that he'd mentioned at all. But the fact he mentioned them then got brought up in the press, and then there was a campaign to ban the films that were mentioned. And so a whole kind of roller coaster went into action immediately. Now, that was the early 90s, and that's sort of 20 years ago. But I suspect if something particularly horrific happened again, we could see a similar situation, because genre films, particularly horror, are kind of almost a sort of cultural punching bag, really. That said, I do think that now the fact that we can go online, or our children can go online and they can see the murder of Saddam Hussein, or they can watch Colonel Gaddafi being beaten to death, means that actually, you know, what constitutes horror and the horrific has changed a little bit. Maybe our kind of equilibrium for that has altered slightly. So at the moment in the UK, the situation is genre cinema is just sort of, it's not dismissed, it's sort of tolerated, and there are no particular issues. But I think that could come back again, probably quite quickly, if there was a moral panic related to them, for sure.
What about the cycles in which horror films change through time? I sort of think that we have like era of zombies and then era of ghosts, and maybe now we're in some sort of another era. I don't know. Is this really some, would you say, pattern that is shown through time, or maybe it's just what comes to Slovenia that we find it in such different horror movie groups?
It's an interesting question. I mean, I think we do get cycles of things for sure, particularly because genre cinema tends to be popular cinema, and therefore it tends often sometimes to be exploitation cinema. And the whole basis of that is to look at something that's popular and then make lots of them. So if you look at Italian horror cinema, say in the late 70s, early 80s, where we get Dawn of the Dead is successful in Italy, it's successful, of course, in the US. The popularity of that makes Italian producers say, maybe we could make our own horror films. They make zombie flesh eaters. That's really popular. And then everybody makes loads of zombie films because they're trying to cash in on the popularity of one thing. So you do get these cycles that kind of repeat. I think in terms of the moment we're in now, it's very hard to say. The sort of fallback position, the go-to position for everybody now, is to talk about Trump and to talk about kind of post-Trump horror. Now, when 9/11 happened, everybody viewed American horror in particular through the lens of 9/11. Everyone said it's post-9/11 horror. All American horror is about 9/11. Torture porn, for example, that we talked about just now. I think now what people are trying to do, I saw online a couple of weeks ago somebody issuing a call for a conference on cinema after Trump. Now, Trump's only just been elected, right? But that's the reference point for everybody now. So I kind of suspect in some ways that might be the reference point we're going to see coming forward. Now, we won't get films necessarily directly about Donald Trump, but we might have things that are about, dictatorial politics maybe, or the far right, or any of those kind of things. I suspect that what genre cinema might do is either critique those, or we might get a cycle of films that fits in actually with a kind of shift to the right in Europe and a shift to the right politically in the US. So it could go either of two ways. We could get films critiquing current politics, or we might get films that try and align themselves with that.
Again, you mentioned politics, and if we look, for example, Slovenia, we have a lot of rural area where we can say people are more apolitical, and we have very, very few of these urban centers, which we could say they are a little bit more political in their interest according to what they do and how they react to elections, of course. So I was wondering, is it true, because I heard from quite some people already, that genre films are actually a phenomena of urban areas? For Slovenia, that would be correct, since we have very much of rural areas and very few of genre films produced.
I think it's partially the truth, and I think it's because it's to do with where films tend to get made, and films will get often made where there are groups of people who have particular technical skills all in one place, and that tends to be bigger towns and cities. So you tend to get films, or filmmakers at least, tend to emanate much more, typically at least, from urban areas. So I think that's possibly true. But that said, you know, that doesn't mean that genre films can't be popular, for example, in rural areas. I would give you the example of Italy in the 1960s, for instance, where a lot of the filmmakers making spaghetti westerns in the sort of mid to late 60s, you know, they came from major cities. They came from Rome, from Turin, from other big urban centers in Italy. But those films were wildly popular in rural parts of Italy. And Italy had a kind of village culture, if you like. It's a sort of village-centric place. It's got big cities, but it has a lot of rural areas too. And in those rural areas, there were lots of rural cinemas or regional cinemas, and people used to watch spaghetti westerns, and we now think about spaghetti westerns, for instance, as being quite political in many ways. And so it's about where films get made, really, I think, rather than where they'll be popular.
Okay, we're talking about the genre film so much. Could you maybe give us sort of shorter version of explanation? What is actually the difference between genre films and other sorts of films?
It's a tricky question. Any academic will always tell you everything is complicated, but it's a complicated question. Essentially, when we're talking about genre cinemas, we're thinking about films that, as much as possible, try to play up what we would think of as the specific tropes, formulas, rules that we would see in a particular genre. And, you know, a genre, of course, is a sort of collection of films that share similar characteristics. Typically, with genre films, we're thinking about films that emphasize those and are aimed very much at the audience, for example, that might want to watch a horror film or might want to watch, for example, you know, a cop film or whatever it happens to be. Now, genre films don't have to be lower budget. They don't have to be what used to be termed sort of B-movies. But typically, there are so many genre movies made that typically they tend to be of lower budget than, say, Hollywood productions. They typically tend to be less well-regarded as well because of that, because there's a lot of them. That said, you know, they're usually pretty exciting because with genre films, what we often get is we often cut out a lot of the explanatory bits that we might get in an art film, for example, or the slower elements that we might get. And actually, we get often bits where we tend to get straight to the action much more quickly. So genre films have a much more popular appeal. They are often trying to play up that element of here's what the horror genre is. You want to see scares, you want to see thrills, we're going to get to those quite quickly. So it's a complicated thing because people use the term in different ways. Because, of course, a film genre can be any number of things. But genre cinema itself tends to conform to the ideas that I just mentioned.
Do we somehow get the feeling that usually when we talk about genre films, we're talking about horror, action, maybe some thrillers and stuff like that? But what about, for example, genre of romantic comedy?
Yeah, it's an interesting point, I think. And we typically do think about horror, you're right. We think about action films, as you say, sometimes thrillers, kung fu movies, all of those kind of things. Romantic comedies often get left out of that. And I think it's partly to do with the perception of who the audience of who they're for. And I think there's maybe something to do with the gender of those who typically follow genre films, or who are perceived, rather, to follow genre films. So they're often seen as a very kind of male preserve, which I don't think is correct. If you go to any genre film festival, you will see a kind of relative balance of men and women. I mentioned that I met the festival director for Kerjapolt in Brussels at Offscreen, and if you go to Offscreen, it's a festival, it has a kind of fair gender balance between men and women. I think often romantic comedies are kind of missed out by academics because it tends to be the people that have studied them have tended to focus upon a certain kind of film. But I don't see why, for example, we couldn't have a festival of romantic comedies and that be a genre film festival. That's perfectly feasible. And in fact, maybe that's something that could happen in the future. Think about a film like Bridesmaids that was, you know, hugely successful and inspired a kind of number of copies. It might be that as the film industry changes, as we start to change as audience members, that maybe we will see a kind of shift in emphasis in genre cinema. What we can say for now is that certainly horror and action in particular are the kind of nexus of where the genre film lies at the moment.
So if there would be a festival of romantic comedy, would you go to?
Why not? I suppose so. I guess the thing is, when it comes to thinking about if there was a festival of romantic comedies, it's about what appeals to you as a particular audience member. And I'm, for example, I'm a scholar of horror cinema and genre cinema, but I'm also a fan of those things too. And that's what drives me to go to festivals like Kerjapolt, for example. It's not just to speak, but it's because it's a genre I love. I can't say I particularly love the romantic comedy genre, I must say. But yeah, why not?
But we will see you at Kerjapolt Festival, and we won't just see you at the seminar, right? You will also be present at some of the movies.
Oh yeah, I mean, all of us who are coming are really excited by the schedule. I mean, you know, first and foremost for us, the reason that we do the jobs we do is because we're fans of this cinema. You know, we love cinema, and particularly we love genre cinema. So, you know, there are some fantastic films. The schedule is really varied. There are some brilliant retrospectives. I would urge everybody to watch I Walk with a Zombie. It's a marvelous, marvelous film from 1943. But, you know, contrast that with the fact that we've got Christina Lindbergh there, who's an icon in genre cinema. So we will all of us be around for the whole event. And actually, you know, what we hope is that people come along to the conference and that we can have a discussion with them. But also we hope that we can see them in the bar afterwards and we can talk about the films that we all watch together.
Russ, thank you very much for this interview. It will be very nice to see you in live very soon too.
Thank you. I'm very much looking forward to coming to the festival.
Interview Radia Student.